Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sign Guy and QT with you as normal. Right before we jump into things, some show notes if you're looking for pro wrestling in the next couple of days. Tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis like normal. Defy Wrestling having their third anniversary show in Seattle. EWI in Bismarck, North Dakota tonight. Tomorrow, HPW returning to Columbus, Indiana, as is Emerge Wrestling, also in Columbus. You have NWP happening in Terre Haute, Indiana. Woo America in Bremerton, Washington, where you can find me. Wrestle Club in Boise, Idaho, returning to Death Proof Coffee. Heroes and Legends in Fort Wayne, Indiana. NOW in Bellevue, Nebraska. MAPW in Harrisburg, South Dakota. ACW in Alma, Arkansas. USA Main Event in Lincolntown, North Carolina. RCCW in Winona, Minnesota. And Battle Zone in Raleigh, North Carolina tomorrow. So, without further ado, I want to welcome our guest as we conclude Northwest Pro Month here on the show. And we have with us one of the great rookie competitors of Northwest Pro, Tomcat Jones. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, fine guy?
Going very well today. And since it is your first time with us, we're going to give you the traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
Well, I've always watched wrestling since I was really young. My youngest memory is probably about in the 2000s when I was about 3 years old. And believe it or not, even though I'm a small guy for my age, I really liked Kane because his mask and his, like, I really like Red and Black and just his character, and he just, I loved Kane because he could do everything. He could do singles match and he could do tag matches. So I just really gravitated to Kane and his character, and then just all of the other nonsense of the Attitude Era really caught a kid's attention when I was that age.
Now, Kane, of course, is a legend in WWE. He also very recently became the mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. So he has transitioned from wrestling to politics, as sometimes that happens in the world of wrestling. Have you followed Kane through what he's currently doing as a mayor and still making sporadic appearances on WWE?
Yeah, sometimes I like to just check in on Kane and Glenn Jacobs, as he is known as Mayor Glenn Jacobs of Knox County. I like to check in on him because I just think it's kind of funny seeing, you know, a big giant in a suit next to all the other politicians.
Now, like you said, you're not an especially big guy. You're a smaller wrestler. When you got into pro wrestling training, did you have any type of background going into it that was going to help prepare you for this, be it an amateur wrestling career or other athletics or drama or anything like that that gave you a little bit of an edge going into wrestling training, or was it a brand new experience?
Well, kind of half and half because I'm the youngest out of a big family, so I'm kind of used to getting beaten up, and I like entertaining people, so that helps. And also, I've always been an athletic kid. Like, I've always been outside climbing trees, playing football, doing all that stuff. And when I was in middle school, I actually played football, and my agility and stuff would just help me because sometimes I would fall backwards and I would just roll through and I would just keep running after the ball carrier or something.
Now, you've been in a handful of matches here. You're getting close to a year into this business. You've been in several matches, and we know that anyone that gets into the wrestling ring for any length of time is going to have the occasional injury. It's just part of the business. Have you had any injuries so far that you've had to deal with, or are you still injury-free at this point?
Actually, a little before my in-ring debut, I actually fractured my toe training in just a really stupid situation where I just landed wrong on it, and I just stubbed my toe for a really long time until after a week someone made me go get an x-ray, and it turned out I cracked my big toe from where my big toe connects to my foot down to my foot in a C shape, because I actually stretched my ligament in the side of my foot so much where it cracked my bone.
That sounds very painful.
I thought I just got a really bad stub in my toe, so I'm just happy I had people around me to tell me to go to the hospital and be smart about it.
Definitely, that can actually lead to more long-lasting injuries if you don't heal that first. Now, when you had the injury, did that change anything as far as what you were able to do training-wise? Were you able to come back and train the same way you had been, or did you have to alter things that you did in the ring to accommodate the injury?
I just slowly tried to get transitioned back to what I was doing because obviously with a foot injury and being a guy my size, I utilize my feet a lot in my moveset. So I was kind of hesitant to do certain things like springboards and whatnot because I didn't know how my foot would react at first.
Not uncommon at all. Now, besides your own injury and just injuries in general, sometimes during the course of a wrestling show, some scary things could happen, be it a serious injury to someone else on the show, or fans getting a little bit out of control, rings breaking. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong that are scary at the moment that they happen, and so we know things are all right, or sometimes if they're not all right, it's scary for a little bit longer. What would you say has been the scariest moment that you've witnessed so far in your career?
I don't think I've witnessed anything too insane in my, like, short time in wrestling. Maybe just some fans, like, getting up into a wrestler's face and, like, screaming at him, and I'm just getting a little worried that it might get out of hand, but it usually just de-escalates and the fan just sits back down.
We know from watching you that one of the things that has befallen you in your career is that you've been the recipient of quite a few J.D. Mason knife-edge chops. J.D. has one of the most brutal knife-edge chops in the Pacific Northwest today, and he's gotten you with that quite a few times. Can you describe what it feels like to be chopped by J.D. Mason?
I don't know how JD does it. I don't know if he slaps brick walls for fun in his spare time, or I don't know if he can harness or harness the power of the sun inside of the palm of his hand. But when JD hits you across the chest, it feels like he's hitting you with the power of 10 or 20 men. And then you add in the first time I was in the ring with him, he gave me about 10 or 12 of those in 3 minutes. And after that, it feels like you have a bruise and a sunburn on your chest. And it's really painful to shower, and you cannot wear a t-shirt for a while. So when JD gets his hands on you, you have your mind on him for a while.
And when he's hitting you with all these chops in a short time span, what's going through your head as you're taking these chops?
I'm just thinking, why did he have to look over in my direction? Why did I have to be standing here? Why couldn't I have been that guy over there instead? Why do I gotta be Tomcat Jones? Why do I gotta be so, like, hit a ball, I guess? I don't know. All I try to think about is everything except what's going on in that moment.
Now, you've had quite a few matches so far this year since you've been in here. Can you pinpoint what so far has been your favorite match where you've competed?
That is tough because since I'm small and inexperienced, I usually stick to rumbles, but if I do get into singles matches, it's usually with, for some reason, I always make the big guys mad for some reason. So my first match, singles match, was for the Washington State title against the Lumbersack, and he just happened to be on his undefeated streak at that moment. And I gotta say that one because I did a flip to the outside onto him, but afterwards he just took it, he just manhandled me. There's no other way to describe it. But I'll just say that one because it was my first singles match.
I definitely remember that. Now, you, of course, speaking of Lumberjack, have been on a few outdoor shows, and they have sort of a different feel to them, and it's a little bit different situation than being on a show that is indoors. What do you think of outdoor shows just in general?
It depends on the location of the outdoor show, on like the season and the weather outside, but I'm okay with them. You know, I don't mind them. I don't hate them, but I don't love them either. I would prefer to be inside, but whatever works.
Now, obviously, on an outdoor show, you're going to have things like gravel and dirt and mud around the ring, and it's going to be a little bit messier situation. There's usually grass going from the locker room to the ring in a lot of those places. A lot of things to get your paws dirty as you're getting into the ring there. Have you had much trouble as far as being able to avoid getting your paws dirty before you step into the ring? Because I know Tomcats don't like to be dirty.
You know, it's okay to get a little messy every once in a while, but before you always step in the squared circle, you got to wipe your paws every single time out of respect for the other wrestlers who also are going to be in there. But if people want to get dirty, you know, Tomcat has no problem with getting dirty from time to time.
Now, you mentioned Lumberjack, and he did have a very, very long undefeated streak. He has been on a pretty good roll this early in his career. He's had quite a bit of success. He is someone that, like yourself, has just recently got into the sport of pro wrestling. But both of you also have gotten your pro wrestling tee store going. Pro wrestling tees has made it easier for independent wrestlers to open up the stores and sell their merchandise. You announced right around the same time as Lumberjack and also Chris Marks that you were opening the stores, joining some of the Northwest Pro guys in doing so. At this point in your career, have you been thinking about merchandising quite a bit, or is merchandising something that you just saw being made available easier from Pro Wrestling Tees and decided to go with it since it was there?
You know, it should always be in the back of your mind as if you're trying to get into the business of pro wrestling to want to merchandise and brand yourself at a young start, at an early start. Because if you start off with a small following when you're small early in your career, it can only just go up because it just never hurts to have a t-shirt out. So a few months ago, I reached out to a local artist, C-Man Filler, and he designed me a logo, and I got that on a t-shirt, and I was selling those at the NWP shows for a while. But now I have, then I saw pro wrestling tees, and I just figured it wouldn't hurt to make one.
Have you noticed at this point, even though it's very early, that merchandise has been selling well? I know it's easier at live events to sell your merchandise if you're there in person and interacting with the people, but have you noticed anything as far as the online sales yet?
Then like one or two, nothing spectacular, but you know, I'm just happy that people actually want to support me enough to purchase one of my shirts online. That just means everything to me.
Well, we are at the point of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I know you are familiar with this. I will throw out some names of people that you have come across so far in your career, and the first word that comes to your mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
I think I am.
Here we go. Ken Hamblin.
Great commissioner.
SP8.
One of my best friends.
Randy Zellers.
That's my boy right there. I love Randy.
Johnny Proof.
Great champion, giving people L's. I honestly think that he might have the NWB championship in the bag next time.
Kyoko, the Fallen Flower.
Great competitor.
Y period T period Jones.
He's probably one of the best owners of any company I've seen. I love Jones.
Christopher Ryzik.
That man's just beautiful. You know, you can't doubt that.
Guerrero Azteca.
Powerful.
Chris Marks.
Egotistical.
The last one, the Lumberjack.
Big.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass you over to him.
All right, sounds good.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Tomcat.
Hello, Cutie.
Mr. Tomcat, you recently appeared on the Sign of the Times episode 403. It's not unusual edition with another wrestler, SP8. Do you know if there are any truths to the rumors that SP8 named himself after a Coppertone brand sunscreen?
I do not believe that to be the case. I can see how that could be misleading because his mask is orange, but I don't believe there's any truth to that rumor. But, you know, privately I might ask him about it, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, that's Coppertone brand sunscreen. Okay, Mr. Tomcat, did you, before you were in the Sign of the Times, not unusual edition, had you just wrestled him in a battle royal?
SP8?
Yes.
I have wrestled him before in a battle royal, but not before the show. After the video was taken, we did compete in the battle royal, but I didn't get a chance to interact with him.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Tomcat, at the 1:15 mark of the Sign of the Times 403, you mentioned that you might have family over in Romania after Sign Guy showed you the Romanian pamphlet. Have you since gone on Ancestry.com and confirmed this?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for them to reach out to me because somebody like me doesn't reach out to them.
Oh, okay. You're not a reach out type person.
No, they got to reach out and I might grasp their hands and pull them in.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Tomcat, at the 1:42 mark of the Sign of the Times 403, Sign Guy introduced the Cauliflower Alley Club brochure. My question is, cribbage plays a very high part in the Cauliflower Alley Club attendees when they attend the meetings. If you are eventually inducted into the CAC, how good of a cribbage player are you?
Well, first off, you just got to show me the rules and you got to give me a few days. And I think I might be able to hang in there. You know, maybe not win, but I think I could give them a good game.
See. Okay. So you're fairly new to the cribbage scene. I take it you have yet to take your maiden cribbage voyage. How much would it mean to you if you were at the CAC club meeting, say like in 2023, and you could play Eugene in cribbage, superstar Eugene?
Oh man, I think that'd be a tough competition because you never know what Eugene is thinking, but I think that might also be Eugene's downfall because Eugene doesn't know what the Tomcat is thinking. So I think we might have a good competition on our hands. Eugene's a fun guy. He likes to have a good time. I'm a fun guy. I like to have a good time. Maybe afterwards we can high five.
Okay. All right. Now, do you think you have the raw talent right now to beat SP8 in cribbage? Do you have the raw skills and mathematical skills to beat SP8?
I don't know if he knows how to play the game either, but, you know, SP8, he comes from the 8-bit society, and I don't think he has, being from the 8-bit realm, I don't think he has the mental capacity to beat somebody like me. I think it would be a good game. I love SP8, nothing against him, but I would become victorious in that situation.
Now, right off the bat, I'd say even just after a few lessons that you could hands down beat manager Polychromatic. Yes, no contest.
I don't know about that. That woman is pretty smart. she was able to get the House of Pain together, and that was probably not a simple task, you know.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Tomcat, are you going to contact Gouge member Seymour Snot for an honorary pair of taped eyeglasses after seeing Sign Guy's Seymour Snot autographed picture? Are you going to contact him for taped eyeglasses?
That's a tough one because taped eyeglasses are kind of neat, but in all honesty, I'll just break my own glasses and tape them together.
Okay. Well, if it turns out that Seymour Snot does not produce a line of taped glasses and the price is right, would you be willing to go into business with him to produce a Tomcat Seymour Snot taped eyeglasses, kind of like a combination?
You know, I'm always interested to do business with anybody if they want to contact me, because I'm willing to work with anybody, and I think that could be a good time, so why not?
All right, a possible Tomcat.
Yeah, half these people get with my people.
Oh, okay. I'll try to work with Sign Guy with this. I think Sign Guy might follow Seymour Snot on Twitter. Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate this. Look, you're out here making moves, and I like that about you.
Oh, okay. I'm always making moves, yes. Okay. All right. Well, Tomcat, you showed Sign Guy your cat and bat tattoo on your right arm. Being a cat, have you ever eaten a dead bat and developed a conjoneurovirus? That's what I'm asking.
No, I usually stay away from that because, you know, bats are flying rodents, and, you know, the rodents I catch are on the ground. You know, I catch the rats. The bats are okay. They're kind of cool. You know, I kind of respect Batman, so out of respect for Batman, I don't eat bats.
I see. Was your cat and bat tattoo influenced by the Batman series that was set in the 1960s?
No, it wasn't actually. It was a tribute to one of my friends who passed away, and on his last birthday, the last movie he saw in the theaters was The Dark Knight Rises. So I got it in tribute for him.
Oh, okay. Oh, very nice. Okay. That's very sentimental. Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Tomcat, at the 2 minute and 23 second mark, after Sign Guy introduced Team Bad Knees, you said as a young boy that you sprained your knee jumping out of a tree. My question is, would it have been a hardwood Japanese maple that is so popular in the Northwest, or maybe a Douglas fir that is native to the Northwest? Was it a hardwood or softwood tree?
I think it was a softwood because I was climbing up it and one of the branches fell, and I just had to make a recovery. And I just tweaked my knee a little, but it was mainly just for the laughs. My knee is fine for the most part, and every time I train, I always wear elbow pads and knee pads because I want them to be good for a while, so might as well take safety into consideration.
I see. Now, as you were falling from the tree, I assume that you were falling to the earth with your back toward the earth, and at the last second, you did a 180 and landed on your feet with your cat-like reflexes. Am I right in this presumption?
You are quite correct, actually, because that's where my agility comes from. You know, I just have everything kind of slows down for me sometimes.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. I kind of thought that would have been the scenario. Okay. Well, Tomcat, Sign Guy showed you two Casey Carlisle pictures among a field of about 8 pictures. One of the pictures was where she was holding a white pillow and the other one was where she just graduated from Hot Nurse University. Of these two photos, which do you prefer most, the Hot Nurse graduation or the white pillow?
The white pillow, because, you know, I would just love to lay my head on the nice soft pillow sometimes and just take a nice cat nap. You know, if she wants to be over there, she can just hang out in the corner or something, you know, protect me just in case somebody tries to sneak up on the cat. But, yeah, I'll go with the pillow. The pillow looked nice.
Okay. I'd like to make a note to Sign Guy, a mental note, that both Tomcat and I are pretty much sold on the pillow picture. Very good. Okay. Pillow picture. Okay. All right. Well, Tomcat, have you sent in your application to be a member of Team Bad Knees?
Not yet. I'm going to give it a while until my knee pops every time I get up. It just pops every 1 in 5 times. So I think I got a few years in me before I can have the honor and privilege of being a part of Team Bad Knees.
Okay. All right. Now, Tomcat, are you familiar with Wrestle Club tag team members, the Spud Brothers?
I am unfamiliar with them.
Are you also familiar with their mascot and close confidant, the chicken Bernadette?
No, I'm not, but I think I would like to see that thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I will work on befriending you on Facebook and then hopefully sending you a video that shows Bernadette with the Spud Brothers, the chicken or the rooster.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I'm just wondering if the Spud Brothers, I don't know myself, if they have ever honorarily carried Bernadette the chicken down to the ring as a mascot at Wrestle Club. Kind of like how the British Bulldogs or the Hart Foundation had Matilda the Bulldog. I myself don't know this.
You should ask them, and if they haven't, they should, because I think that'd be a beautiful sight to see, to be honest.
Do you yourself have plans in the near future, probably with Northwest Pro Wrestling, to carry a cat down to the ring on a satin pillow, a cat mascot?
You know, I'll give it an idea. Maybe if the right cat comes along, because, you know, being a cat myself, I got to have a spiritual connection, and our souls and spirits have to connect, and we gotta be bonded as one. So maybe if the right cat comes along, maybe I'll think about it.
Okay, all right. Personally, I'd like to see that cat kind of rear up from its pillow and hiss at manager Polychromatic, whom I don't. Yes.
What is the cat's name?
Oh,
Tom.
Well,
Tom
we should have. I think Turnbuckle Turmoil should have a contest in naming your cat mascot, if you should adopt one.
Yeah, maybe it could be Sign Guy.
Sign Guy the cat mascot. That has a certain ring to it. Yes, certain ring,
yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right, very good. We'll work on this. We'll work on this. Okay. Maybe you can warm up to the idea of a cat mascot first, and if you confirm, we'll run a contest.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Tomcat, I was impressed with the mask that you wore on this Sign of the Times episode. It had a red base with a cat secondary and yellow whiskers. Did you make this mask yourself?
I did not make it myself. I actually got it made from a luchador.
Oh, uh-huh. Wow.
I forget his name at the moment, but after the show, I can send you your information, and if you want, you can contact him and ask him a few questions. But it's a really amazing mask. I couldn't ask for a better mask right now.
Well, they are good. Hopefully, you'll be selling them, selling a line of them at your merchandise table. That would be good.
Yeah. Fun fact: the luchador who made my mask actually made SP8's mask.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And
all right.
He also made my tights.
Oh. Man, I myself have to replace my lucha mask that I have. Yes. So I might stop by your table. Yes. In the near future.
Yeah, maybe we can form a tag team together, QT. We can be the QT Cats.
Hey, the QT Cat. Now, I like
that.
And I am searching for a tag team partner for my retirement match. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Go out.
No, okay.
Go out and bring a new guy in. They'll make a movie about that someday, I bet. Who's gonna play you in the movie, QT?
Who would play me in the movie? Whoa, now that's a very good question. I don't know. I think my first choice would be JB Moonshine to play me.
Mm, that makes sense. I would get who would I get to play Tomcat Jones? I think I would get Mike Tyson's Tiger to play Tomcat Jones. Yeah, I think that's a fitting role. I think we kind of show some resemblances.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go on record that my second choice would be Northwest wrestler Sarah Irene, because she's just about to get her teaching certificate. That would be a good role for me. Imitate me.
Yeah, if Mike Tyson's Tiger isn't available, I think I would go with Cody Campbell. Would be my second choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're about the same size. I think he could pull off the Tomcat.
Oh.
Real talk, you know?
All right. Duly noted. And I'm writing this down as we speak. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Tomcat, in the future, we might see flying soldiers on the battlefield. After enabling short hop human solo flight with their jetpack bodysuit, the personal flight pioneers at England's Gravity Industries recently demonstrated a version of the suit where a soldier mounted helmet-controlled air rifle with one of those. The company declined to say whether it is working with the military on this project of a jetpack short hop human solo fighting machine. My question is, can you see yourself being one of the first wrestlers in the Northwest to have a match in a jetpack bodysuit? That's what I'm getting at.
You know, I don't have the money personally to fund a match like that, but if anybody has the money to give me the proper training to be in a jetpack, I don't care if the other guy has training, because then it would be easier to win. But I just want the training. And then, yeah, I'll be in the first match.
Okay, first jetpack match. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay.
Put that in the books too, QT.
What's that?
Put that in the books too.
Oh, okay. I'll put that in the loop, yes. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Tomcat, on the subject of online dating altering human evolution, it is proven that algorithms that help match mates on dating services are shaping new generations of humanity. Studies show about 40% of heterosexual couples meet today online. That's 40%. And one estimate forecasts half of the babies born in 2037 will be to couples who first connected on the internet. My question is, do you see yourself in the near future having the first wrestling match and date in the Northwest set up through an online dating / wrestling site? Do you see yourself having the first date?
so let me get this straight. I would have a date and I'll have a match at the same time?
Yes, set up by an online dating wrestling site, website.
Would we eat dinner in the middle of the wrestling ring and then fight afterwards?
No, I think you could start your match, and at one point, if one of you elects to have a break, like say a 10-minute break, they could set up a buffet table in the middle of the ring with a candle and have you two take a romantic dinner. Yes.
Doesn't hurt to try, you know. Why not? If the motion's paying for the food, if it's for free, it's for me. So let's go.
Oh, okay. If it's for free, that's very, very wise choice. Okay. First dating online dating wrestling website. Okay, I'll try. I myself will try to set this dating site up and get you signed up. Yes.
All right. It's always good to be known to be the first for something, either or, you know?
I mean, I'm just saying I'd pay big money to see you challenge Kiki Starling in Idaho and have a wrestling match, and then right in the middle of it, take a time out and have like a nice Jimmy John's sandwich together. Yes, that's what I'm getting at. Kiki Starling.
Maybe not Jimmy John's, but we can talk about the food choice. But, you know, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever's clever.
As long as it's free, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Tomcat, multiple global companies are developing Hyperloop projects that can shoot passenger trains through tubes at more than 600 miles per hour. That's New York City to LA in under 5 hours or to DC in 30 minutes. Services could go commercial by the 2030s, enabling extreme work commutes. My question is, can you see yourself in 2030 wrestling a match in Western Washington and then taking a Hyperloop vehicle to Idaho and wrestling 25 minutes later in the first ever Hyperloop dual Washington to Idaho match?
I'll be first for whatever you want me to be, QD. As long as I'd be known in the history books as Tomcat Jones doing whatever first, let's go. You know, I'm up for it.
Boy, this is a one of our podcast show where I'm really looking into the future, you know, and kind of hooking you up with possible future endeavors. Yes,
yeah,
I
can all stop at the QT retirement match. The QT
Jones.
Yeah. The QT Cat, I mean.
QT Cat, yes. Well, okay. All right. That's a Hyperloop match. Okay. Well, Tomcat, do you remember who you faced on the Northwest Pro Card this past October 19th at the Key Peninsula Civic Center, Night of the Living Slam? Do you remember who your opponents were?
Was that the gauntlet match or the invitational, I should say?
I'd say the gauntlet.
Yeah, I forget the gentleman's name at the moment, but yeah, I remember that night because I took a pretty good chokeslam with the Real Talk Tyson next to me.
Oh, chokeslam.
The gentleman I was trying to face, he took out three of us, and then J.D. Mason came out to make the save because J.D. Mason is basically the Batman of NWP. He's the hero we all need. But this gentleman took out J.D. with a cheap shot. Me and Real Talk Tyson, being the cool guys we were, we were trying to go help JD, but the gentleman had other plans, and he chokeslammed both of us.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, Tomcat, do you see in the near future any possibility that you will be tagging with Johnny Proof Are there any truths to the rumors that you have your eye on Johnny Proof also?
I like Johnny Proof. He's a really cool guy, and I think he's a great competitor, and I would love to be in his corner. So anytime that Johnny Proof would want me, Tomcat would love to be there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Tomcat, you must be aware by this time of our Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest wrestler 9 7/8 Northwest wrestler rankings, where the number one ranked wrestler gets a fruit pie for that week. Recently, I have been having trouble locating wrestlers that will let me publish the 9 7/8 weekly rankings on their Facebook page. For the first time ever on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show, I am going to ask a wrestler if I can publish the weekly rankings on their Facebook page after I send you a friendship click. Will you, Tomcat Jones, let me publish this week's Northwest Wrestler Rankings on your Facebook page?
One deal. I haven't competed yet in 2020, but if you're going to use my Facebook page, I'm going to at least be in last place.
Oh,
just
no,
for being a cool guy.
Well, many wrestlers that have made their debut on our ranking, weekly rankings, have been ranked as high as number 8 or 6 3/4.
I would just be happy to be there.
You see, you could someday work yourself up to the coveted fruit pie. J.D. Mason received 2 fruit pies about 3 weeks ago at Northwest Pro.
And he wanted, and remember, apple next time. He wants apple.
Oh, yeah, apple. Okay.
I care about his feelings and his taste buds.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You don't think apple. I'm listening, but I'm always listening, QT.
Aha, very good. Someone's listening. Oh, okay.
But,
all right, well,
you know, if you want me to work my way up to a fruit pie, I'll do it for you, QT.
Wow, this is very nice. Very, very. This is a high honor. Okay, very nice. Okay. All right, well, Tomcat, it's been a pleasure, and look for these rankings to be published on your Facebook page. And at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
Sounds good. It was a pleasure talking to you, QT.
Okay, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Tomcat, in this day and age in professional wrestling, entrance music has become something that pretty much everybody uses to establish themselves right out of the curtain, set the tone for their match. A lot of the wrestlers get in the right mindset going to the ring based on the entrance music that's playing for them. What do you use for entrance music, and what was the decision-making process for you to come to that?
I use Eyes of a Panther from Steel Panther, actually, because it starts off with a cat roaring, and it's just a really good song. As JD said last week, he really enjoys Steel Panther. And, you know, I'm just here to make everybody happy. If I like this song, if I can get into the song, if I can tap my foot to the song, I'll use it, whatever. It's a good song. It hypes me up. It gets me going.
Now, also very important in today's era of pro wrestling is social media. It's easier now than it has been in previous eras for wrestlers to be noticed and to get bookings out of their home area and so forth, using social media to connect with fans and promoters and other wrestlers. I know you have a social media presence as well. What do you say is the importance of social media in today's professional wrestling business?
I think it is a good tool for professional wrestlers to use to not be forgotten or to communicate with the fans or to stay relevant in general. Because if a fan has that interaction with you, if he can build that relationship with you, then they will more likely buy a t-shirt or they'll more likely go to a show and support you.
Now, do you get messages from a lot of fans outside of the Northwest that have discovered you through social media like Twitter and Facebook, or maybe have seen some of the things you've done on the YouTube?
No one outside has contacted me, but I've seen people from outside states like my page because I'm always interested in who's liking my page, so I will actually go and look. So I've had a few people from out of state like my Facebook page, but no one has reached out to me from outside of state yet.
Well, we got a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to make sure that you have plenty of time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners today, if there's anything you want to plug, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite barbecue restaurant, floor is all yours.
Well, stay connected, and you never know where Tomcat is going to show up. You could catch me tonight training with Northwest Pro at the Northwest Pro training facility. If you're interested in that, you can contact JD Mason or the official Northwest Pro Facebook page. And also, if you want to follow Tomcat Jones, you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at TomcatJones97. And if you want to support me, Tomcat Jones, you can find me on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/TomcatJones97.
Well, Tomcat, like usual, it has been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank you very much for being with us today as we wrap up Northwest Pro Month here on the show. And I will see you in the month of February at the Vaughn Civic Center.
All right, I look forward to seeing you, and hopefully QT can make it there too.
Hopefully he will.
Oh, okay. Yes, we're good.
All right, well, fans, definitely, if you know Tomcat Jones is going to be on a show near you, go out there and buy a ticket, watch him as he is getting underway in his pro wrestling career. 1 year in the business coming up for him. He's just getting started. But support him and what he does. Maybe pick up a few shirts at the Pro Wrestling Tees. Continue to support him. We will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. We will have Paige Jones returning for the first time as a solo interview. She was on our last live show. You may have seen her on Impact Wrestling in the last few weeks. And then a week from today, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary on the air. Turnbuckle Turmoil turning 10 years old. We are throwing the big 10-year anniversary show. We'll have lots of surprises for you. So definitely be here next week for that. You can catch me in Bremerton tomorrow at Woo America. But wherever there's wrestling near you, go support it. And we will talk to you soon.